I'd like to thank John for the words of welcome. Say it is a privilege to be here tonight, and also to have the men from the manor, from Gathering Manor, Ben's home down in Talla, Dublin, up with us. We have already enjoyed listening to some of the men. They were taking part at a gospel service in our Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church, and the Lord certainly blessed there. And likewise, we pray tonight that the Lord will presence himself here and bless us as we meet around the word of the Lord. Now, each of the men that are here tonight have a testimony. They have a testimony to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace. And we rejoice in the goodness of God towards the men. Praise God for saving these men, not only for them, the fact that they're in the men's home, and Leighton will tell you a little later about that home, but not only the fact that they're in the men's home, but that they have met with the Lord and the Lord has saved them and transformed their lives. And we're going to ask them to come and to bring a brief word of testimony. Now, I'm told that some of the men are nervous. And maybe, is this meeting going out live? Oh, they'll be even more nervous now. You've got a worldwide audience, so you'll be even more nervous. Brexit's just collapsed, but never worry. We're going to have some of the men coming along now to bring a word of testimony, and we're delighted to have them here. And we're going to ask our brother Kieran Carney, first of all, to come and tell us what the Lord Jesus Christ means to him, what he's done for him. Thank you very much, Kieran.
Thanks for having us here. My name's Kieran. I'm 36 years of age, and I spent over 20 years in addiction. And from alcohol, I started drinking alcohol when I was about 11. Smoking cigarettes, went to taking hash then and prescribed drugs, and that went on for nearly over 22 years. And then my addiction cost me 17 years of my life in and out of prisons, and put an awful strain on my family relationships and my children, you know, and lost me my accommodation. I was living on the streets, in and out of hostels, and I had no purpose in life. I just didn't see life had anything to offer me, you know. I thought this was it, you know, this is what life was about. I meant to be a drug addict, or I wasn't, I'd make it or not. And I got saved 2 years ago. Well, I was on the streets, and I had an accident, and I had a compound fracture with my leg, and two Christians walked up to me, and they were former addicts themselves, and they gave me the gospel, and they gave me their testimonies, and they gave me hope there and then. And I went with them to a house, a Christian house, where there was other addicts there recovering, and I got saved there. They showed me the Romans Road, I think it's Romans 10:13. And I stayed for 8 months in that house, and the Lord started to work on my leg, heal my leg, because the doctors told me because of my addiction, I probably wouldn't have the proper use of it again, you know. And that really got me very depressed, because I was very active in things and sports, you know. And so I stayed there for the 8 months, and I left out of God's will, because it was designed for 12 months, the program. I wanted to go out, and I thought I could do things again. I had in my heart I wouldn't take drugs, but it wasn't long before I started going with my addiction again, drinking and smoking and taking drugs, hard drugs, and hurting my family again, and losing all respect, you know. And I heard about the Gathering Manor then, and Talla, Leighton, Kelly there, I rang him, and he gave me an interview over the phone. That was 12 months ago there in January the 3rd. And he told me to go to church a couple of times, and I went, and he took me in there. And I graduated last week, but God's restored all my family now, like my children. I get to see my children all the time. And he's given me a ministry now and an outreach to help other addicts out in my hometown, where I would have done a lot of damage there, selling drugs and stuff. And it's just my children. I'm just so happy now, because I know now my children won't follow me in my addiction. You know, I can break that habit now. And I just want to thank God, because it wouldn't have been possible without God. And I just want to thank him for what he's done in my life, and just to testify to that. And just thanks very much.
Amen. Thank Kieran for bringing that word of testimony very clear. And each of the men will testify to the fact that they were broken men. They were men at the end, at Wits End Corner, but they were men that the Lord was able to save and change. Praise God for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It sets men free. Now we're going to have two more further testimonies. First of all, we're going to ask our brother Alan O'Neill to come and testify. And then straight after Alan testifies, our brother John Allen, and as you'll recognise by his voice, he's not from Dublin, but John's going to come and testify straight after Alan. Thank you very much.
I just want to thank you for inviting us up here, and it's great to be here. I'm from Brian, from the same town as Ciarán is, and I come from a Roman Catholic background, and I just feel like I want to say it like that. It's the world is very easy to kind of walk into and go around about and listen to the music and go to the pubs and wear all the fancy clothes and have a nice car. And so I was that type of a person, but I was a bit wilder than a lot of them, and it led me into deeper drugs and crime and everything, you know. But it's so easy for a young person, or even like myself, or many of my friends, to fall into the trap. I have a lot of friends that are drug addicts and from different types of drugs, you know. But around my life, around my family's life, I have a kid as well who I haven't seen for 3 years, but since I've been in the home, I started to see him. And I just, you know, if I think about the times when I was really bad and I would come home and my mother would be crying, looking at me from the guards after arresting me and stuff. And, you know, I thought, you know, that was it. I was the boy around the town, and I was the main man, you know. And this was something that all of us done, and it was credit on the street, you know, to get pulled by the guards and have a bit of a name. That, you know, I was Mr. Cool Guy, you know. I knew what the score was, you know. But it led me to a heroin addiction and living on the street with absolutely no hope. And it was only then that I was making the decision to go all out and either commit suicide or get into so much trouble that somebody else would have to put me down. But it was only then at that time that two Christians had come into my life, and they told me that Jesus Christ had a new life for me, that he'd saved me from my sin, and that he'd turn my life around. And the Spirit of God was working on me at that time and convincing me of my need for him, and convincing me of the things that I was doing wrong. And it was at that time that I decided then to get down on my knees and ask God to forgive me for my sins and for the things that I'd done wrong. At that point, God started to change my life. I now look on and I'm in the home 8-9 months now, and God has really worked in my life and changed me. So I just want to say things like that. It's out there if you want it. You don't have to go into the depths of sin as I did, you know, but it's there if you want it. Jesus is there for everybody, and he's done a wonderful work in me, and I'm looking forward now to go to America and to train to be a pastor. That's my hope now. I feel like that's what God's called me to do. So I just want to praise and thank God for changing me, because I was nothing. Amen.
Evening, everybody. As you can tell, I'm not from the south. I'm from Ballymena, just down the road a wee bit. But my story is something the same as the boys. From a young age, I grew up in the Dry Road housing estate from a young age. All the older boys in the estate were driving fancy cars, fancy motorbikes and fancy clothes and stuff, so I wanted the same, and they were dealing drugs, so the only way I could do it was thinking the same ways, dealing drugs as well. But before I knew it, you don't end up with fancy clothes or fancy cars or anything like that. You end up in the streets with an addiction, a heroin addiction, because that's what I ended up with. And I ended up losing my family. I nearly sold my parents' house one time, and just kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper into drug addiction, and ended up in rehabs, prison, just everything that was wrong. I'd done it and went there. But I was with my girlfriend and my child one night, and she wouldn't give me money for my drugs, so I walked out in the two of them, left my daughter, I think she was about 4 years of age. But I ended up in Ryan Smith, if any of you know me from Ballymena, and Chris Callan. They used to come and see me all the time and take me out for cups of tea and that, games of snooker. And I ended up at Ryan Smith's house one night, going out to Ranaldstown Free Presbyterian Church. But the Lord brought me to my knees that night, and I literally cried out to him to save me, because every other way I tried it, I failed. And he saved me that night, but I just went back into my addiction the next day. But always says to him, if you can get me somewhere to go into, I'll go into it. But they found the men's home in Dublin with Leighton Kelly, and they says to him, we'll go on in Dublin for you, we'll go down and see you. And I said, oh, no, Dublin. I'm a Rangers fan, I'm a murderer down there. But I went down to it and seen it, and I'm glad I did, because I went into it on the 7th of May, and I'm in now 9 months, and it's been the best 9 months of my life. I'm clean. I've no want for drugs anymore. Just, I'm so happy, and it's great to be walking with the Lord now. And I just found out tonight, hopefully I'm going to do mission work in the Philippines in July. And I'm just excited, because the men's home's 12 months now, and I've still got a couple of months to go, and I'm glad to say, so I'd like to stay in Dublin a bit longer. But I've really got a heart to do mission work now, because I watched the DVD of Africa, and us boys, we that much, and when you see them kids in that in Africa getting a bowl of soup and the smiles in their faces, and they hear nothing, it's so humbling, and God's really given me a heart for that now. I'd like to praise God for what he's put me today and keep me alive and just put me with the men in Dublin. Thanks very much for listening.
Do you want to thank Alan and John? And as you listen to men testify, there's one thing that certainly stands out, and it's that these men who are now saved and changed, it's no longer about themselves. You hear them talking about their families, their children, reaching out to other people, and that's because when you're an addict, unsaved, your life is all I, me and my. It's all it consists of. You don't care who you hurt, what depths you go to, as long as you get your drugs, as long as you have your sin. But once the Lord saves you, praise God, it's Christ first, Christ second, Christ third, Christ and Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. And praise God for the change wrought. We're going to have another word of testimony. Some of the men are a bit shy on what they have to say. John didn't tell you that he used to throw, when he was a young boy, throw stones at Dr. Paisley. Dr. Paisley said he must have been a bad shot because he never hit him. But we have another Ballymena man with us tonight. We are really delighted. I mean really, really delighted to have all of the men here, but especially our brother Robert. And Robert's now going, hey, he's up another one. We're going to ask Robert to come and tell us of what the Lord Jesus means to him. Come on ahead, Robert.
Hello, folks. It's good to be here. It's good to have your, just your attention, really. If I was to tell you everything I was to do, it would take from now to eternity, really. But at least I'm not going to spend the rest of eternity in hell. It's the main thing. I grew up the same sort of place as John, the Dury Road in Ballymena. Thought I was one of the blokes, you know. Big man, big shot, knew everything about everything, you know. Actually knew nothing. So I actually started smoking cannabis and drinking, running with the crew, acting a big man. Before I knew it, I was hooked on acid, ecstasy, and I ended up on heroin and crack cocaine. So I just had to keep doing things to feed my addiction. So I was out robbing, stealing, selling drugs, just stuck my diving, wheeling and dealing. That's what my life involved. Got up in the morning, go and get money. Got up in the morning, go and get money. Just to supply my habit. But really it was the devil that was doing all this here. So I was actually nearly dead. I actually was in hospital for about a month. I was actually nearly dead. And I was in the car park in Tesco's. And Ryan will even tell you, Ryan didn't even know why he was in the car park at Tesco's. I was in drawing money out to go and get drugs, as usual. And I turned around and there was Ryan, and he says to me, give me a ring. So I says, I just nodded my head and walked on. Well, I could barely walk, to tell you the truth. And that day, the day passed, the next day I got a text message. Do you fancy meeting up for a cup of tea? So I says to myself, well, I'll go in here and get a cup of tea, the boys. Maybe I'll be able to tap a few quid, get an hour kind of stuff or something. You know what I mean? So I went down and Ryan and introduced me to Chris and so-so, and ended up going down to Dublin. I said to myself, these boys are head cases. There's no way God will ever fix what I have. You know, I have a habit here. And before I knew it, I was in the hospital and I asked God, he saved me. And so he did. He saved me there in Ed in the hospital bed. And now my life's completely changed, you know. I just live for God now. I get up in the morning, I can't wait to read my Bible, I can't wait to get to church on a Sunday, I can't wait to talk to young people that use, you know. And I've got the best of friends now, and people actually love me for who I am, not for what I had or what they could take off me. And like, now I'm just a changed person. I just praise the Lord for that. And amen. God bless us all. Amen.
If it was possible, and I wish it was possible, just to put the picture of Robert up the day that he went to the men's home, you would not believe it was the same person here tonight. It is beyond words. What the Lord is able to do with a broken, destroyed, ruined life for the glory of God. Christ is able to meet the need. And the testimonies of men, they just bring forth the reality of a great Saviour for great sinners. A Saviour who loves men and women and bled and died for them. And in the providence of God, that day that Ran met Robert and spoke to him and then texted him. And of course he was very honest. He was looking at a cup of tea. John says he used to come out with us as well. They get tea, that's Ballymena men for you. I always like to get something. But you know, that weekend God was working in Robert's heart. He really was. And he was very, very ill. And I know that the people here, I know the young people have prayed, and we've asked you, and you've prayed for Robert. And he's here tonight in answer to your prayers. And thank you in the Saviour's name for praying for him, for praying for all of the men. I want to thank you sincerely in the Lord's name. Now, in the home, there's always a bit of banter over football. Some of the men, well, they support the Blues. Some don't. Freggs is a mad Celtic supporter. You'd have to be mad. But he's a wonderful testimony also. He's been a real blessing. We're going to ask our brother Frederick Brown to come and to tell us what the Lord means to him. Thank you very much, Freggs.
How is all doing? Good to be here. Just like to tell you, I'm 29 now. When I was about 14, 15, started on drugs, smoking hash, drinking, stuff like that. Like, I come from an alright family. My mother and father were alcoholics, but everything was alright at home. Just a few fights here and there, but got through it. But went to hang around with people like Lane Kelly, Paul O'Keefe. They run the home. Like, and hung around, grew up with them, like, and smoking hash, as I'm saying, and then got into, when I was about 15, 16, got into doing heroin and stuff like that, and you know, just wasn't alive, then ended up on methadone and stuff, and then I seen Paul O'Keefe, he's another man that runs the home at Lane there, he seen what God was doing in his life, you know, runs an RU in the village, asked me to go up, so I went up, and you know, Lane was there, and got talking to the pastor and all, so I went into the home, they asked me to go into the home, this was last year, I went in and stayed there for 2 weeks, I thought they were all crazy, to be honest, so we ended up leaving, like, I got off methadone now, but we ended up leaving, thought they were mad, I just says, I'm not having it, so I went there, started drinking again, so there, 4 months, 4.5 months ago, I was just still drinking drugs and stuff like that, and seeing like Paul O'Keefe's getting married, like my best friend getting married to a lovely girl from America and all that, so seeing that it was good, and late night we got back into the home, so we went back in, and like the God has been working in my life since then, like charges and stuff like that. I was in and out of prison all my life when I was younger and all that, so I had charges, like I don't have any more anymore, but God has been working with me, and just like to praise God for that. That's it. Amen.
I had a fit before the night's out. It's great to listen to the men and give them a very warm welcome along to the meeting tonight. And it's good to have Ran and Dan, his wife, and also to have Robert's brother as well. Give them a warm welcome along to the meeting this evening. And Leighton Kelly is the director of the men's home in Dublin. He's a wonderful testimony to the grace of God. He's a converted addict himself. Leighton's going to come. He's going to tell you just a little bit about the home, and then he's going to bring the word of the Lord to us. And we trust indeed that the Lord will bless Leighton as he brings God's word, and that he will know the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, brother. Amen.
I think I'll just stay down here. God wants me to be a good steward of my time and energy. So if I stay down here, it'll save me going up there and back down.
I probably won't be invited back if I stay down there. Well, okay, I'm Leighton Kelly. It is good to be here. And I'm glad that the men were able to come with me and share testimonies of God's grace and God's goodness in their lives. You know, we serve a good God. And you're in Martyrs Memorial Church tonight. I'm presuming that you've been to church before. I'm looking around. I don't see many people out of classes as lost people. There's probably some people in here that don't know the Lord as their Saviour. But for the majority, I'd say people know a bit about the Bible and different stuff like that. But give you a bit about my testimony. I was brought up in a broken home, Roman Catholic, obviously, being from Dublin. Didn't know anything about God. Thought I did, but I didn't. When I was a young person, I was about 11, 12 years of age, somebody, a young fella off my road, invited me to play football, and I went to Holiday Bible Club. Just let me encourage any of you that are going to put time into doing buses with young people or any youth clubs that the gospel is going to be preached. It is well worth it. That is where I got saved. I got saved the day I got invited to Holiday Bible Club, and some man called Kevin Daly stood up with an open Bible and he preached the gospel to us. And right then and there, God convicted me, and I walked the aisle that day and trusted the Lord to save me from my sin. And the Lord saved me that day, done a work in my life. But walked with him for about a year, went to every single church service that was on, and the Lord really blessed. And you say, well, what happened then? Well, I went into secondary school, and 13 years of age, and got in with the wrong crowd, and stopped going to church, stopped hanging around with God's people, stopped reading my Bible. You know, I stopped doing the things that I should have been doing. And I just walked away from God and turned my back on God and wanted nothing more to do with him. I wanted the acceptance of my friends. And you know, I sought after that. I sought after their love and for them to you know, accept me as one of the gang. And I just, you know, the people I was hanging around with were doing drugs, and I ended up doing drugs, and one thing led to another, and I ended up becoming a heroin addict in my young teenage years, and spent the next number of years on heroin and on methadone and fisetone and tablets and sleeping tablets and Valium, antidepressants, seeing psychiatrists, seeing counsellors, seeing doctors constantly, and never able to get victory over that sin. Never thought about going back to God's house. You know, God's house is God's support group. And I didn't know it, but I needed to get right with God. And, you know, tonight I'm going to be preaching. And it might be a hard message for some of you to hear, but my desire is that people would get right with God tonight. That if somebody isn't saved, they will do what I done when I was a young teenager and walked the aisle and trust Christ at the end of the meeting. But then one day I went back to the church and I had to get right. I had to humble myself and ask God to forgive me of all the sin that I had done and the stuff I was involved in. And once I confessed my sin, God cleansed me. He forgave me. And I was made right with God again, and I was able to walk with him again. I was able to be usable in his sight. You see, we're hearing testimonies of God giving victories in men's lives, and we think that's exciting. We're hearing John saying, I want to be a missionary and go to Africa and do mission work, see people reach for the Lord, and we think that's exciting. We hear Alan, and he's up here saying, you know what, I want to be a preacher, and I want to go to Bible college and learn about God's Word so I can preach and teach the Word of God, and we think, man, that's exciting. But you know what, what about you? What about you? What are you doing right now for Jesus Christ? You see, normally I don't mince my words or mix my words, but, you know, often we can be pig lazy about the work of God. We want to just sit around in the muck and mire and do absolutely nothing for Jesus. After what he done for us, we want to do nothing for him. It's nice accepting free gifts of salvation and such like, and coming to church and being blessed and hearing preaching and hearing testimonies and being blessed. But what about you? Are you wanting to be used of God? Are you wanting your life to be used for the Lord and to further his kingdom? Do you just come to the youth group, you know, youth outreach? Do you just come here because that's what your friends are doing? If it's like that, that needs to change. Because God can never use you like that. You know, in my life, when I got right with God, God ended up giving me a godly wife. I now have 3 kids. The oldest is 3, the youngest is 6 months old. And the Lord has given us all that kind of stuff. He has given me a ministry to
people with addictions. I'm a missionary to the addicted, and I see people saved, and I see people changed and transformed and discipled for Jesus Christ. I have a discipleship home in Dublin, where 13 bed facility for men. We take men in for a year, and we get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. We do an hour of devotions every day, that's reading the Bible and praying. We do classes, Bible class, every single day. The men go out and work manual jobs, like they do painting, gardening, stuff like that during the day. And then we have either church or class every single evening. And you know, the men are coming in, and they come in and they're a wreck and they're ruined. Their lives are going nowhere. Most times they'd be homeless and just nowhere to go, no hope. And they come in, and then the Lord touches them. Many of them get saved, and many of them are turned around for the glory of God. Not all of them, because people make choices and decide to walk away. But the ones that make a decision to trust Christ, when God saves them, God starts to change them. You know, anybody that meets with God in a real way will be changed. Does that mean they're going to be perfect straight away? No, and I'm sure there's nobody in this room that's perfect right away. You know, you heard some great testimonies from people there. You know, the first time Robert gave a testimony was on Friday night in the RU Addictions program, and he gave one this morning and one this evening, so it was his third testimony. Frederick Brown, he gave his testimony for the first time this morning in the church, and this is the second time, and you could tell by his voice, he was shaking up here in his boots. And but the Lord is doing a miraculous work. Honestly, if you had seen these men before they came, you would be gobsmacked. You would be praising God for what he has done and how powerful he is. But you see that powerful God that has changed these men? We need to meet with him even now. We're going to look at his word tonight. I'm going to preach from his word. And his word is going to speak to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come in and work in our hearts. You need to have a Bible. You need to be able to look into a Bible. You need to be able to see a Bible. We're going to be looking at the book of Acts. And listen, I just want us all to be on the same page. For the leadership here that invited us up and given us the opportunity to come and testify about the glory of God, and for the opportunity for me to preach, I do thank you. And it is a blessing. We count it as a blessing. It is from God. And I believe the Lord would have me preach this message tonight. I've been praying what the Lord would have me to preach. And I've been going to and fro between two messages out of the book of Acts, two different messages that I wanted to preach on, but the Lord has clearly directed me to this message. It was a hard message to write, and it'll be a hard message to hear. But you know what? Sometimes that's what we need. When the men come into the home, they don't need everybody to tell them it's okay. They actually need truth from God's word to get right with God. And my desire is that people will get right with God tonight. I just want everybody to be on the same page. If you're in this room, whether you're your young person or you're an old person or you're on the internet listening in, or you're going to listen to a CD in 6 months' time, if you're listening to this, I'm preaching to you, no matter who you are. If you're hearing this, God is wanting to speak to you through preaching. That's what God uses. God uses the preaching of his word, and that's what we're going to do tonight. So I'm preaching. It's not to the person next to you. It's not to the men in the home. It's not to the young people. I am preaching to you where you're sitting. You older folks at the back, please don't get in your hearts and heads that this is just for the young people, but this is for you. This is for the young people, but this is also for you. You're here on a Sunday night. I presume that you know a little bit about the Bible. For those that don't, hopefully you will by the end of the night. For those that do, I hope this is a message that will stir you up and get you moving in the right direction to be used of God, to be challenge to change. There's no point in getting challenged in your life if there's no change. We need some change. But we are going to look at the book of Acts chapter 7. Let me just give you a quick rundown on the book of Acts. The book of Acts is where God starts the local church, Bible preaching, Bible believing church. And that's what he does in the book of Acts. And there's many, many stories in the book of Acts glorifying God and God starting churches and God seeing people saved and people getting delivered and transformed and changed. And that is wonderful. But we are going to focus in on a particular man. His name is Stephen. We're going to start at chapter 7 and verse 54. Start reading. And look along. So you know I'm reading now the same book as you. I'm going to be preaching now the same book as you're looking into. And the Bible says in verse 54 of chapter 7 of the book of Acts,
And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him at their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and they ran upon him at one accord. And they cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes down at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he, kneeling down, cried out with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask, O God, that your Holy Spirit would speak to hearts and lives. Lord, that we will be changed into the image of you, that we will be more like you when we walk out of this room tonight. Lord, if there's anybody not saved, I would pray that you will convict of sin, righteousness and judgment, that you would indeed step down and meet with your people tonight, that you would meet with us, O God, and show us yourself. Lord, help this not to be another meeting on a Sunday night. Lord, that people walk out not changed, but would you change hearts? Would you call people to full-time ministry? Would you challenge people to change their lives for your glory? And Lord, we will thank you for what you'll do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at verse 57 just for a minute. The Bible says, And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him at one accord. You know, if you're here on a Sunday night, you should know some things about the Bible. Maybe not everything. But when God started churches in the book of Acts, when he started working then, the Holy Spirit came down and in the book of Acts, and the people that once were in fear of their lives, they started preaching, they started telling people about the Lord, and God was working, and God was moving, and God's still moving today. God is still changing lives today. God is still saving souls today. Everything God was doing in these days and starting churches and stuff, he wants to do today. God is the same yesterday, today and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews, or Proverbs 1:23 says, Turn you up my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, I will make known my words to you, unto you. That's Proverbs 1:23. 2 Peter 3:9 says, The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. You know, God wants to revive you tonight. If you have been distant from the Lord lately, if you have grown cold, if you have grown hard and callous in your Christian life, if it just doesn't seem to be what it used to be, you don't get any enjoyment from coming to church, you sing the songs but you may as well not bother, you're in church but you're not really here, you're brought along maybe with your family, it's what's expected of you, you know, you've always come to church and church has become just a social club to you. Let me tell you folks, God wants to revive you tonight. God is in the business of changing lives. You have just heard 5 testimonies and mine say 6 testimonies of what God has done in a life. And God still can do that in your life tonight. We are expecting that big God to step down into this room and meet with you tonight. And you know, God wants us to get us to the place where he can use us. Whether you're young or old, God wants you to be in the position where he can use you as a vessel to see people saved, to see him get glory from lives. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how young you are, God wants to use you. But God only ever uses clean vessels. God will not use dirty tools. He will not. And you say, well, we know people are doing stuff and stuff isn't right in their life. You know what? Sometimes that's not God. God only uses clean tools, clean vessels, people that are right with him, people that are walking with him. That's who God uses. You know, you want to be used of God tonight, you need to get spirit-filled tonight. You need to know God in a very, very real way. You want to be a missionary when you grow up. You read the stories and you think, that sounds wonderful. You know what you need to do? You need to get spirit-filled. You need to get to the place where God is pouring, oozing out of you, and every desire you have is to push for God's kingdom, to glorify God in every aspect of your life. That's what you need to get to. You know, God wants to revive your spiritual life tonight. He wants you to get back to the normal Christian life. He wants you to be spirit-filled. You know, not just us living our life with God thrown in somewhere along the background and getting the leftovers of what we have, but God totally consuming everything we do. I tell you, my life is consumed with God. If
From the moment that I get up in the morning, God's in it. God's in my devotional time, in my prayer time, in when I go to church and I go to the men's home. Everything I do is consumed with God. You know why? Because it has to be. When it's not, I'm full of myself and I'm doing my own thing, and then I'm doing absolutely nothing of any value or of any worth. You can work a normal job and that's fine. The church needs people to be working normal jobs. But you know what? If you want to be used of God in a very real way, in full-time ministry, to see people reached, you know, you need to be right with God. I wonder if you're right with God tonight. I wonder if your heart is the way God wants it. If your heart is going for the Lord, or if it's just going for the things of this world. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 1:23, it says, "Turn you at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known unto you my words." You know what? God wants us to preach. He wants the Holy Spirit to speak to us, and He wants you to do whatever He tells you to do at the end of the preaching. And if that's to get saved, to trust Christ to save you, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you're not God's child, you need to do that. God loves you enough to convict you of sin, and you need to go and you need to get right with God. If God convicts you about an area in your life that's not right, whether it be an area or a standard in your life, whether it be an issue in your life, something that you're doing, let me tell you, you need to humble yourself and you need to get right with God. Whatever it is tonight that's hindering your walk with God tonight, you need to change it. Young or old, you need to change it. You know, why doesn't God use us? Why does it seem like God is so far away? Why does it seem like when we read the Bible, God isn't speaking to us? Why is it when we pray, it's like God's not there? Why is it when we come to church and we're hearing preaching, all we can hear is, yeah, and we can't hear on? We're not encouraged by the Word of God. We're not encouraged by the singing, and we couldn't be bothered. Why is that? I'm going to tell you. It's because we have left filthy sin in our life that is consuming us. That's all we do. And we get sin in our life. We go the wrong way. We get rebellion in our hearts. We're rebelling against the teachers. We're rebelling against our boss at work. We're rebelling against people telling us what to do. The preacher wants to go one way. We want to go the other way. God tells us to get rid of this. We say, no way. I'm not getting rid of this. I'll do it some other time. God says, I want to save you. I want to change you. I want to set you free from the way that you're going. And we say, no thanks. I'll do it some other time. We are always putting off doing what God wants us to do till another time. Well, sometimes you're not going to get another time. There's been people coming to my addictions program that have died in the past. They never got a chance to get right. Let me tell you, I hope that's not going to be you. I hope you're going to get to the place where you're going to know you're saved. You know God's hand is in your life and you know you're walking with Him. You can know that you have a vibrant relationship with God. It doesn't have to be boring. The Christian life can be an abundant life, but you need to be right with God, or else it's just going to be boring. It's just going to be dry. It's just going to not be of any effect for anybody. It's going to just kill you. It's going to be like pulling teeth. I hate going to the dentist, but that's what the Christian life is like when God's not there. When you have sin in your life that is hindering you from walking with God. If you're saved, once saved, always saved, nobody can take that away from you, because it's not you that keeps you, it's the Holy Spirit and God that keeps you. But you know what, folks? We can put a barrier up between us and God, because God will not have anything to do with sin. And if you have sin in your life in any way, shape or form, you are not walking with God, you are not right with God, no matter what it is. You know what? God will convict tonight if you are open to Him, or else you will just do what these men in the book of Acts done. Look at verse 57. Verse 57 says, these are a bunch of men, and I'm gonna tell you now about them, but often people do this in church. The Bible says, "And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord." You know what? In the past 3 years, I've preached in many, many churches, preached in my addictions program many, many times. You know what? I've never seen anybody stop their ears. I've never seen somebody stick their fingers in their ears to stop them hearing what I'm saying. Never. But you know what I have seen? I've been in churches, and it absolutely disgusts me. I've been in churches where I will know, and the preacher can see everything that's going on, even though my eyesight isn't great, but I can see all of yous. And sometimes when you're preaching, somebody's not interested, and they will let you know that they're not looking. You know what they're doing? They're stopping their ears. Or you will see somebody going like this. Trust me, they will have to drag me out of here preaching if you look at your watches tonight.
They will have to drag me out. I'll preach till they drag me down these steps. But you know what, folks? We can stop our ears without putting our fingers in our ears. We can come to church not right with God and have stony, hard hearts, and it doesn't matter how much the preacher spits and bawls and shouts, but nothing gets in, nothing penetrates. The Holy Spirit can't work in our lives because we have put a big wall of sin up and we're saying, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not doing anything, I want to stay in the filth that I'm in, and I'm not wanting to change, I'm not wanting to get right, and as soon as I'm old enough to get out of here, I'm gone! That's why our church isn't filled tonight. You know why? Because certain people, when they were younger, made decisions of unbelief and decided to walk away from God. Decided to disappear out of church. Decided to go to the world. And many people that should be in here tonight, sitting down, listening to preaching, are at home watching TV, watching stupid neighbours or Coronation Street, or some other rubbish that they shouldn't be watching, and instead of being in the house of God. Let me tell you, folks, we can so quickly get out of church. I used to be in church every single service that the doors were open. I saved up 25 Irish punts when I was 12 years of age. And it took me months to buy a big King James Bible with fancy coloured maps on the back of it and stuff like that. Let me tell you, it took me months. Months. You know why? Because I love God. And it didn't matter what I had to give up from. It didn't matter what I had to sacrifice. But you know what? You can't get people hardly to come out to church anymore. You tell them church is going on, you say, I've other things to do. I'm meeting my friends tonight. I'm going for this place or that place, and they just can't be interested. And then you get the Christian kids that have brought up in a Christian home, and instead of being grateful for growing up in a Christian home and being protected from the enemy and being protected from the world, what they say is, you know what, I'm being brought to church, and they rebel against God, they rebel against the authority in their life, and instead of coming to church and being filled and being fed, they just want to get out the door, they just want the preacher to say amen at the end so they can get some food, so they can go off into a corner and talk with their friends. Where are the people that want to serve God? I wonder if it's you tonight. I wonder if you're at the place where you're ready to serve God. You want to get right. You want to be used of God. You long for God. You long to get into church. You love the preaching of the word. You love singing godly songs. And you want to get under godly preaching. I wonder if your heart's like that. Do you long to be used of God, or do you long to earn money in your life? Where are your priorities? 3-point message. Normally I don't do points in my messages, but I'm going to do 3-point message tonight. All that was really just introduction to challenge you, to get you thinking about where you're at. I hope you know. Be asking the God, where am I at? What's my relationship like with you? Am I really meeting with you? Am I really a Christian? Am I a Christian? Am I saved? Am I born again? Am I blood bought? Am I one of your children, or am I one of the devil's children? Ask yourself, when was the last time you definitely met with God? With God Almighty. You had a quiet time. You had a Bible time where you and God met in prayer. And you actually met with God. When was the last time that happened? And I wonder why that doesn't happen. Look at verse 54 again. We're going to pull 3 points out of this message. God's going to talk to you, not the person next to you. Not the kids at the front, not the old folks at the back. He's going to talk to each one of you as where you are at. And I don't know yous. I don't know yous. Chris didn't fill me in on any information. I didn't get an email from any preacher telling me this fella's in that crowd, this person's doing that, or young people are doing that. Nobody has filled me in on anything that's going on. But if God wants to speak to you, I believe he can do that tonight. We're going to be looking at the godly man Stephen. Stephen was used of God in a mighty way. And he, you know, we don't read much about him in the Bible, really just in the book of Acts there, and man, this guy was used of God. Let's look at it. Verse 54 says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Well, why were they cut to the heart? Point number one, because of the truth of scriptures. You know what? They had just a short time before in the church there where Stephen was at, they had just appointed him a deacon. They had he had gone out and he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching everywhere. He was shouting, spitting, hollering. He was going out telling people they weren't right with God. They needed to get right. They needed to turn and repent of their sin, that God would save them, that they had crucified Jesus and he was the sinless Son of God. And he was just out there preaching all over the place. And the people in the town, the religious crowd, they were going crazy. They ended up getting some false witnesses to come and say that Stephen was preaching against the scriptures. You know what? They didn't like it because Stephen was going around preaching the truth in scriptures. You know, they were just happy doing what they always did and doing traditions and stuff like that and never helped anybody do anything. And you know, the Bible tells us in chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and by the Spirit which he spake." You see what? He wasn't preaching himself. He was preaching filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was speaking to the people and convicting them. But not everybody that the Holy Spirit speaks to is going to turn around and get right and fall on their faces before God and say, "God, please forgive me." You know what? Because some people just turn around and go harder and harder and harder and rebel against God. And that's what happens, and that's why people end up getting out of church. But see, this man Stephen, he preached, and you study it sometime, he preached for 52 verses in Acts, in the book of Acts, and he basically preached from Abraham up to their present day. And he preached about everything. He told them they were blasphemers. He told them they were adulterers. He told them that, he told them exactly what was going on. He told them the truth. He preached the Bible to them. He preached from A to Z in 52 verses using God's word. And you know, Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is my word like, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" You know what? Stephen was just preaching the Bible to them. He was just telling them the way it was, and the Holy Spirit was working in hearts and lives, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. And you know what? They went mental. They went crazy. They got upset. They went into a fit of rage. They got some blokes in to give false witness against them. Look at verse 54 again. "And they heard these things, they were cut to the heart." Folks, I wonder what God would have to say to you to get you cut to the heart. When that says they were cut to the heart, they were affected by the word of God. They went and they heard some preaching and they were affected by the preaching. And you know, it was once said that when there's preaching, there should be either a revival or a riot. Well, there wasn't a revival here, there was a riot. And you know, it wasn't good for Stephen, let me tell you. But these people were wicked, they were ungodly. They thought they were right with God, but they were far from it. But I tell you, God convicted them that day and they went a bit crazy and they wanted to get Stephen killed. And you know, I wonder and ask, and we're talking about, you know, personal revival for a wee minute, I wonder what you'd be willing to do or give up to see God really revive your Christian life. To see it made alive again. Do you ever remember when you first got saved that God was just working and you wanted to tell people about God, you wanted to see God work, you wanted to see God moving, and you know what? After a while, it just kind of, it dies down and you fizzle out. And that's why so many people get out of church. You know, they get saved and everything's going well. They're running, they're sprinting, but their little hearts end up giving up. And they fall away and they blame God and say, "Oh God, it wasn't really real." But you know what? God was working and they just needed to get right and keep going right. But I wonder what you as an individual, as a young person, as an older person, would give to have personal revival in your life. To have that freshness back. To have that zeal back. I wonder what you'd give. I wonder what you'd be willing to give up. I wonder what sin you've let into your heart that's hindered your walk with God, with the precious Saviour. I wonder what's in your life that embarrasses God. I wonder what's in your mind that when you think of it, God just is taken aback and you shouldn't be thinking of that child. Now, I wonder what's in your life that's hindering you from being a representative for the Lord here on earth. You know, what's in your lifestyle that's bringing embarrassment to God's glory? What's in your life that's hindering your walk with the Lord? Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conversation," that's the old word for lifestyle, "let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel." What Paul was saying here is he's saying, you know what, I hope your lifestyle is living up to the gospel. And young people, older people, I hope your lifestyle is living up to the gospel. I hope what you say and what comes out of your mouth and what's preached in this church or your church is the way you're living. If it's not, you need to get right and you need to turn your lifestyle and get your lifestyle in line with what God's teaching is about a certain area. I wonder if the Apostle Paul was to come by and he would say, knock on your door, unexpected. Is there something he would find you doing that you would maybe be ashamed of? That you would go red about? That you would turn off quickly before he got into the house? I wonder if there are any places you would go that God wouldn't go. That he would say, you know what, I wouldn't go into that filthy place, den of iniquity. I wouldn't go in there. You know, I wonder if he went into your house and you're sitting there maybe having your dinner at TV time, would he find some ungodly soap that shouldn't be on in your house? Would he find, you know, neighbours may be on in your house, some rubbish like that, or home and away, or would he go in on a Saturday evening and find Pop Idol on, or would he go in, you know, in an evening and find you watching The Simpsons or watching Friends or some filth like that, and you say, well, that's not too bad, Layton. You know what, they blaspheme God's name every single episode. Every single episode in them shows, God's name is blasphemed, God's name is dragged down into the muck, and if you watch them, you're not right with God. And if you're a father in here and you let them be watched in your house, you're not right with God, and you need to get right with God. Let me tell you, if you're listening to this on the internet and your kids are at home watching filth on telly, it's your responsibility. If things like Big Brother are on in your house, that's wicked and vile, and you should throw your telly out the window rather than corrupt and defile your own children and your own family and your own home. The men in the house should be responsible for what's going on in the house. I'm telling you, young people, it's not just okay to watch what you want to watch on TV. It's not. Do you know, if you're a Christian, if you're one of God's children, God expects a certain standard from you? And you say, well, what standard is that, Brother Kelly? Let me tell you. As I am holy, you need to be holy. That's what God said. How holy is God? God is holy. He is bright, spotless. There isn't any darkness in him at all. You know what? God wouldn't listen to people blaspheming his name. God wouldn't watch something that the skimpily clothed women walking around in. God wouldn't watch something where there's swearing in it. You know what, folks? We need to get back to doing what God would want us to do rather than doing what pleases our flesh. You know, Maybe you're a young person and you like listening to music and stuff like that, and you know, you say, well, Layton, what's wrong with listening to music? Here you go again. And you know what some of you are doing right now? They stopped their ears because they didn't want to hear what he was saying. You know what? That's exactly what they done with Stephen that day. You know why? Because they didn't want to hear what was being preached at them, because they knew it was true in their hearts and they didn't want to change it. You know what? If you're listening to anything like you too, I'm not going to ask anybody to put their hands and listen to you too. But listen, if you listen to you too, you're not right with God. I have seen that man hang an upside down cross, a satanic symbol, on front of a camera. And I have seen it with my own eyes at one of his concerts. I wasn't at the concert, seen a video of it. He dangled an upside down cross on front of a camera. That fella is being used of Satan. You mark it down, but you know what? But people say he's a Christian. Would any blood-bought Christian be hanging a devil-worshipping symbol in front of a camera? I'm sorry, friends. Christians are easily deceived. Somebody claims to be a Christian and then Christians think it's okay to listen to their stuff. It's not okay to listen to their stuff. If you have any ungodly music in your CD collection, let me tell you, it's wrong and you need to get rid of it. It does not honour God. It is from the enemy. It is from him. It will hinder your Christian life. You will not grow to where God wants you to grow until you get rid of it. And you know what? If that's you, the Holy Spirit will be saying to you, you know what? You know that's wrong and you shouldn't have been listening to it. Don't do it because I say it. Do it because the Holy Spirit touches it and says, you know what? That's wrong and you know it's wrong. Again, you know, there's some older people in here, some fathers. Listen, if your kids are listening to music that's not right in your home, you're responsible. Nobody else is responsible. You know, don't blame your kids for going to the world if you're letting them bring the world into your own home and play the worldly music in your home. You know what? You've nobody else to blame but yourself if they go to the world. Let me tell you, folks, we need to be on the ball when it comes to stuff like music. Satan, when he was in heaven, was responsible for music. He was responsible for leading the singing, basically. And you know what, folks? What do you think he's going to use down here? It's common sense he's going to use music. And he tricks us. And I'm not just talking about heavy rock music. You know what? That's obviously bad. But the enemy is a liar. He's deceitful. He's not going to use just heavy rock music to get it. You know what he's going to use? He's going to use rock music with Christian words. And you say, oh, here you go, Lane. You're going to start talking about contemporary Christian music. You're going to put that down. I'm out of here. You're not maybe standing up, but some of you have probably left already. Let me tell you, just because they have Christian words in them, it doesn't mean it's right. Just because music has Christian words and rock music beats, it's the same music. It's just dressed up a little differently, and it's same wicked music, and it's ungodly. And I don't think you can be spirit-filled and listen to contemporary Christian music. That's the truth. I don't think it honours God. I don't think it honors God at all. I think, you know, it's totally against the way God is. God is a holy God, and he is not interested. You just have to look at these groups. These groups are sitting there with long hair, dirty looking. They, you know, they look like a bunch of drug addicts half of the time. And that's the truth. They look like any other band you would see on MTV. That's not, there needs to be a difference in the life of a Christian than the life of a lost person. And if there's not, folks, there's something wrong. If there's not, there's a heart issue there, and you're not right with God, and you're rebelling against God, and you're doing your own thing. A Christian should look different, talk different, smell different, act different. They should be different in every way. They should respond differently. They should do different things with their time off. They should spend their money on different things. They should not be doing the things of this world. But we're deceived. How many of your young people are playing video games that are utterly, you know, of the devil? Let me tell you. Many of the video games that you can get nowadays, not all, I'm not saying everything's bad, I'm not going after everything, but you need to have godly standards in what you let into your home. You know, you need not play video games, and there's video games out there where there's prostitution in them, drug use in them, yeah, video games, and I've seen them, where there's people stealing cars, you know, people bullying people. People, you know, abusing women, you know, people being raped. There is all sorts of crazy stuff going on in this world, and you need not have stuff to do with it, because you need to be right with God. If you want God to ever use you, you need to get right with God. Don't stick your fingers in your ears, because some of you need to hear this. God is a holy God, and he only uses clean vessels. And any of these men in the home, I think for 1 minute they can go out and listen to ungodly music when they leave the men's home. You know where they're going? Straight down. Straight down. I'm telling you, it's that important. It's that big an issue. You know, we need to be godly about every aspect of our life. You know, whether it be our dress. Let me say, ladies, we need to be careful about the way we dress. You know, you need to be dressing for the glory of God and not be dressing for the gentlemen in the church. You need not come to a youth group to find a husband or find a wife. Let me tell you, you come to youth group to hear preaching. You come to youth group to meet with God and to move on for God and get fire in your soul about serving the Lord. That's what you come to youth group for. If you're coming seeking after a husband, you're coming seeking after the wrong reasons. Folks, we need to be so on the ball about what we're doing. And you say, well, what are you going after clothes for? You know why? Because I was at a church lately and I was bored and I went home. I had some of my men at a church lately and I went home bored, really bored, because the ladies in the church were dressed atrociously. And you know what? The ladies were there dressed more like they were going to a nightclub than they were going to God's house. That was the truth. And I was burdened for my men. You know why? Because some of them ladies were putting temptation of lustful thoughts in the lives of my men, and I was burdened for them. Folks, you need to be careful about the way you dress. You need to be careful about the way your kids dress. You need to be careful about the way your wife dresses or your sister dresses. And if it's not right, be man enough, be bold enough to say, you know what, I need to change this. This isn't right. You need to honour God with all your life. Stephen didn't hold back. He didn't say, you know what, don't stone me, you know, I won't go preaching that hard anymore. He didn't say that. You know what he done? He just kept preaching God's word. He just kept preaching what God wanted him to preach. You know what? He ended up losing his life for it. But you know what? He was willing to go all the way for God and not quit, not give up, not stop preaching. You know what? There came a time in his life where he looked up. He was just about to die. And you know what he saw? He saw the glory of God. He saw God standing at the right hand of the Father, not sitting. You know what? When Stephen was under pressure and he was having to make decisions of faith for Jesus Christ, to keep preaching, to be a testimony for the Lord in his community, you know what he done? He looked up and God blessed and God showed him Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And you know what he was doing? He was cheering Stephen on, going, yes, Stephen. Keep going on. Keep pressing on for me. Don't give up. Don't fall away. Don't quit, Stephen. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Whatever it takes, Stephen, for my glory, whatever it takes. And you know what, folks? That is the same for us. Jesus will be standing there cheering you on if you make decisions of faith to give stuff up, give worldly stuff up for him. God wants you to be usable in his sight, whatever it takes for the glory of God. You know, often we have a problem with our mouths. I have a problem with my mouth. I have such a big mouth that gets me in trouble often, right? So I know this illustration goes really, really well for me. But in my Christian life,
there was stuff I used to say. And as I was growing as a Christian, I learned you can't say certain stuff. You shouldn't say certain stuff. You should be careful of what comes out of your mouth. Otherwise, you will never, never grow. If you're a gossip, you'll never grow as a Christian. You know why? Because you need to get victory over your mouth. It's a big issue in the Christian life, big issue in churches, and you need to be careful what comes out of your mouth. See a snake? A snake slithers along and it gets to a certain size. You know what it needs to do? It needs to shed its skin to grow. You know how a snake sheds its skin to grow? A snake will have to slither up to a rock and he will start on his mouth and he will bang his mouth off a rock and that will break the skin and he will slither out the skin and he will grow from it until he does it again. You know what? We need to, with our mouths, go to the rock, the Lord Jesus, and ask him to help us with what comes out of it. And that's how you're going to grow as a Christian. We need to examine all our life and say, you know what, how are we going to improve our Christian life? You know, God wants us to recognize that we have sin. If we don't, we forfeit forgiveness. If there's no forgiveness, there's no relationship. If there's no relationship, there could be no freedom in Christ over the sin issue in your life. You need to recognize it. You need to ask for forgiveness. If you don't get forgiveness, you can't have a relationship with God. If you have no relationship with God, you can never get victory over the sin in your life that you're struggling with, that's holding you back in your relationship with God. You say, well, Layton, how's my Christian walk not what it should be? Let me tell you why it's not what it should be. Because there is probably one or more areas of your life that you're not willing to give up. It's always like that. And you say, well, I'm not too sure what it is, Brother Kelly. I'm not sure what that sin is that's holding me back in my relationship with God. You know what? You're God's child. He can tell you exactly what that issue is. You ask God and say, God, what is the issue in my life that's holding me back from my relationship with you? Why is it not vibrant anymore? Why has my heart gone out of this? Why am I not seeking you anymore? Why is it like pulling teeth when I go to read my Bible? Why is it when I'm praying, I may as well be praying to the seal? You know what? It's normally because there's a sin in your life that you haven't dealt with. The Holy Spirit is there to bring that up to your mind, your life. If you will just do it and confess it and move on, you will grow and develop as a Christian. And you know what then? God will bring something else up and something else up and something else up. You know why? Because all the time he's chipping away. He's chipping away and he's shaping you like his son Jesus. So you will look like him, think like him, act like him. And ultimately you'll do exactly what he wants you to do here on this earth. I told you I was going to give you 3 points. I'm just going to read out the other two and I'm not going to go into them because I've taken too long on the fourth one. Point number two is in the same verse. The Bible says when they heard these things, what things? The 52 verses of the Word of God that he was just preaching to them. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And that was point number one, because of the truth of the Scriptures. They plugged their ears because the touch of the Spirit. Because God touched them and says, you know what, that's not right. They had to face up to their sin. And they weren't willing to do it. They laughed and mocked at Stephen. And ultimately, they were hurting their souls. And they just said, we're not going to put up with this. We're not going to listen to this. We're going to get you. And ultimately, they got him. Now, you're either going to go two ways with some of the stuff that I just said. And trust me, I had a whole lot more that I could have said, but I didn't. Trust me, you're either going to go two ways. You're either going to say, I hope that fella never gets back in here. Or you're going to say, you know what, folks? There's some stuff in my life that isn't right. And God wouldn't be happy with it. And I'm willing, for the glory of God, to change whatever God wants me to change. It's that important. Now, God is a good God. And he has changed lives in the lives of these men. He has changed my life. But there has been hard decisions in my life I've had to make. When I went over to Scotland when I was a heroin addict, my preacher sent me over to Scotland to get right of drug addiction. You know what I thought? I thought I was going to be able to compromise. I thought I would still smoke cigarettes and smoke cannabis and take ecstasy tablets and drink when I finished the program. And you know what? As I walked with God, as I started reading my Bible, I didn't want to give these things up because these were things that all my friends were doing. But you know, God started chipping away and he convinced me of truth that I needed to give these things up. I wonder what's holding you back tonight. What are you holding on to? You know, what's holding you back? What's clinging you down? What's holding on to you? What chains are around you that you're not willing to give up? And some of the things mightn't apply to you in your life where you're at. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you don't know God. And maybe some of the stuff I've preached on may seem foolish to you. Why would somebody you know, giving out about rock music and giving out about video games and stuff on TV. And if you're not saved, you know what that will seem like, what a foolishness to you. But you know what? To a Christian, to one of God's children who he expects to live a holy life, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. But you know what? For the foolishness of preaching, that's what God speaks to people through. And trust me, folks, if you're not saved, the greatest moment in every life of these men that gave testimonies, the greatest change only started when they got saved. The filth in their lives was more than probably the filth you think is in your life. But you know what? Just because they were drug addicts, that's not why they needed to get saved. Just because I was only a teenager, a young teenager when I got saved. I had never done drugs before or anything like that. But you know what? I knew I wasn't right with God and God needed to forgive me of my sin. I'm sure there's businessmen in here maybe and they've never taken drugs. They've never, you know, abused their family. They've never committed crimes. But you know what? Even the businessman that has his life that looks like it's together, he still needs to come and get saved. You know why? The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How far short do we fall? We fall way short. God demands perfection. And we are sinful creatures that get nowhere near it. So what do we need in order to bridge that gap? We needed the cross of Christ. We needed Jesus, God's only Son, to come from heaven and die on that cross, that cruel cross, to die for our sin, that we might be made free of our sin debt. You see, somebody had to pay the price. And if you're not saved, God hasn't paid the price for you. And you will stand before a holy God one day. And you will answer for your sin. And you say, I don't care. Trust me, on that day you will care. You say, I'll get there some other way. Jesus said, there is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. No man gets to the Father but by Jesus Christ. They have to go through him. They have to come to the place where they humble themselves and bow before him and say, God, please forgive me of my sin. I recognize what I've done before you. I reckon the sin in my life and I need to bow before you and please forgive me. They need to come to the place of repentance and get their sin right before a holy God. Otherwise, they will stand before him on judgment day and they will stand before him a guilty man or a guilty lady and it will be too late. Trust me, nobody's going to wake up in heaven surprised and say, how did I get here? Everybody that's in heaven knows how they got there. Because they made a conscious decision one day. God was convicting them. They made a conscious decision to follow after the Lord. Everybody knows how they got there. There's no surprises waking up in heaven. But there's going to be a whole lot of people surprised waking up in hell. Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If not, does that concern you? If you say, that concerns me, please speak to somebody after the meeting and they'll show you from God's word how you can be saved. If you're a Christian tonight, you say, Brother Kelly, some of the stuff you were saying was really, really harsh. And maybe so, but maybe somebody in here needed to hear it. But God wants you to live a pure, holy life for his glory. You know what? God doesn't want Christians walking around. You know what Christian means? Little Christ. You know what? Sometimes his little Christs are walking around and they're a little embarrassment to him. And we need to get right for the glory of God. Otherwise, God will never be able to use us as a clean tool in his hand. I wonder what God would have you to do in ministry. Young people, examine your heart. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that will consume the direction you are going in life. What direction are you going? Is it after wealth? Is it after title? Is it after, following the family line, the family business? Or are you saying, you know what, I'm going to go God's way. I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. And you know what, that's the kind of life God can use and God can bless. If you're not saved tonight, though, I'm boarding for you. These men know what it's like to be lost. I know what it's like to be lost. And I praise the Lord that I know what it's like to be saved. And there is such a difference. There is such a peace. There is such a joy. It's not that I had to stop doing a whole load of stuff. It's a blessing that I was able to give up doing a whole lot of stuff. God has just changed my life all around. You know what? He could do the same for you. If you would let him. Chris.